Get 172, yeah? Okay, 172 at the bottom, 94 on top. Chapter 37. What? 37? Excuse me. We learned 36 and 37. We're up to 37, obviously. We started from the beginning. We're still not in Perek Aleph. Okay, we're going to start. Two, four, six, seven lines at the top of the page. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is explaining that the ultimate goal of Mashiach is dependent on our actions now. And we learned. Because what's the revelation of Mashiach? That godliness will be revealed in the physical world. Therefore, in order for that to happen, we need to elevate the physical world. Therefore, he says, when a Jew takes the object of the physical world and they elevate it to Kedusha, they do a mitzvah with it, or as we learned, even business or anything, you utilize it for the sake of serving Hashem. What basically happens is you're elevating that level of the world. And then he says that not only are you elevating the physical world, we are also elevating our own animal soul, which is in the blood of the person. And therefore, when you take the power of your hand, let's say, the power of the soul, the animal soul, that's in our hand, that we're able to do a mitzvah with, not only are we elevating the world, not only are we elevating the physical object, we're actually elevating ourselves too. Okay? Because our body now becomes elevated. And he said, through this, we elevate the entire... What? Got it? Huh? Klipas Naiga, the neutral level of evil. Shuklolas Achayis, Shal Elam Azagash Mirachumna, which is the general life of this entire physical, mundane world. And he says, what does this mean? Kasher Kol Neshama V'Nefesh Olikisha B'chol Yisrael, when the soul of every single Jew, Hameshalek is Beprotis, that divides itself individually, the Shishim Rivet to 600,000 Jews, Tekayim Kol Nefesh Protis, will keep every individual mitzvah, of Tariag Mitzvah Sateira, the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, Shasa Leisa, 365 negative commandments, Lahafrit Shasa Gedidim Shal Dama Nefesh, Hachaya Shebeguf, to separate that the 365 veins of the person, that they should not get nourished from achas mishol shlips atmeis agami, from one of the evil levels, complete levels of evil. For which are the source of all negative. I'll explain those things in a second. And then, if the animal soul will not be able to become elevated, if it becomes impure with the three impure levels of impurity, which can never be elevated. The Alter Rebbe says like this, and this is another important thing that needs to be explained. We learned it in the past, but it's fundamental things. What's the difference between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah? A positive mitzvah brings holiness down to us, right? You put on tefillin, you light Shabbos candle, you do a mitzvah, you become holy. That's why before we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha. Asher kitshanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivon, God sanctified us and made us do the mitzvah. When a person does not eat pig, when a person does not transgress one of the 365 negative commandments, you don't become holy. That's why you don't make a bracha not to eat pig. There is no such bracha. There's no bracha that God commanded us not to speak Lashon Hara, or God commanded us not to steal. There is no such bracha. Why isn't there a bracha on a negative mitzvah? Because a negative mitzvah doesn't make you holy. What does the bracha say? God sanctified us by doing a mitzvah. We don't become holier by keeping a negative commandment. What happens when we do sin? We eat chazer. Okay? At the time we eat chazer, at that time we're getting nourishment from total evil. Meaning, any of the 365 negative commandment objects, are completely evil that can never be elevated. Unlike an esrig that could be elevated because it comes to neutral level of evil, klipas noiga, money of tzedakah could be elevated to kedusha. So over there we say shekachana b'mitzvaysav. We're elevating the esrig, we're elevating our body, we're elevating our soul, we're elevating everything. What happens when a Jew does a negative commandment, like they eat pig? At that moment, they are getting nourished from complete evil that can never be elevated. It can never be elevated. And if it can never be elevated, what happens is our body at that time is nourishing from total evil, so even our body cannot be elevated. If somebody will take a piece of chazer, tray food, and they'll go to the mikveh first, and they'll wash their hands outside of the bathroom, and then they'll sit down and they'll meditate on a bracha for the pig. Okay? Now, if a pig would be kosher, you'd make shahakol near bidvar, like you make a meat, right? A person takes the chazer and makes a bracha with a lot of kavanah. Baruch atah Hashem, okay, shakol niya bidvari. Okay? And he eats the pig with a bracha. And he eats the pig for the sake of serving God, that he should be strong. And then he takes the strength that he just got from the pig, and he davens and he learns and he does everything. That pig goes nowhere. If it would be kosher food, that food was elevated, and you're elevated, and everything's elevated. But complete evil cannot be elevated until Mashiach comes. Or a super-duper level of tshuva that Aveda becomes a mitzvah, which is not the normal level of tshuva. The Rebbe says, in order that our blood vessels, so to speak, should remain pure, we have to push away the negativity, the negative things that the Torah forbids. Because then our blood, so to speak, is not getting nourished from evil, from complete, unelevatable evil. When a person eats chazer, then they're getting nourished from something that cannot be elevated, total impurity, and that affects our body.
And where does that go? Like for a Baal Tshuva, once they start keeping kosher, where does all that previous food go? Like on their soul and whatever?
If it's a very lofty level of tshuva, which is very, very uncommon, okay, then that evil turned into a mitzvah. As a rule, tshuva removes the punish, the impurity, but it doesn't elevate it to kedusha. In other words, you can have a level. I'll give you an example. It's a similar example, but a mikveh has a double purpose. A mikveh, if you're impure, removes impurity. That's level number one. So now you're not pure anymore. You're not impure anymore. It doesn't make you holy. There's a second level of mikveh. Like, for instance, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur went to the mikveh 5 times. Okay, now he didn't become impure in between. Okay, so what did the mikveh accomplish? The mikveh can do 2 things. It can remove impurity, and it can make it whole, can make you holier. Okay, so in a similar vein, tshuva can remove the impurity, but tshuva cannot make it holy. It got rid of the, it cleansed your evil. That without tshuva, you need to get burning in Gehenna to get cleansed. Okay? Tshuva is the wash that you do, the cleansing that you do during your lifetime, that you don't need that.
What? And what happened, like, in the terrible times, like in the Holocaust or whatever, when Jewish people had to eat treif or whatever to just survive? Would they need to come to the bracha on that? Or
yeah. If the Torah allows you to eat treif, then you make a bracha on it. When the Torah forbids you to eat it, I'll give you another example. If somebody eats on Yom Kippur, they make a bracha? Yeah. Why? Because Torah says you're allowed to eat. So the same Torah that says it's forbidden now says it's permissible. Okay? To save a life, you're allowed to eat treif, like in the Holocaust, like you said, right? So the Torah says you can eat it. In fact, even with that, by the way, it's not so simple. Because there's an argument in halacha, and Alter Rebbe alludes to it with one word in Tanya, there's a halachic argument when the Torah permits treif of food to be eaten to save a life. Does that mean the food becomes kosher? Or the Torah says it's treif and eat it anyway? In other words, there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it, the Torah says it's kosher. Right now it's kosher. Another way of looking at it, no, it stays treif, but the Torah says you could eat it. What's the difference? In halacha, there's a lot of differences. Oh, the question is, after the fact, do you need to do tshuva for what you did or not? In other words, if it's treif, and the Torah says eat it, the bottom line is you have treif in your system. Granted, the Torah said you could eat it. Right? Or, I'll give you another example of this, which is also strange. Chametz on Pesach is treif. Okay? That means I have a piece of bread. The second before Pesach, so to speak, it's kosher. Then it becomes treif. Then it becomes kosher. So what happened? It went klipas neger, shoshkis, satameis, to klipas. Like, what happened over there? Understand? It's like a weird. Pig is pig. Pig is treif, and is treif, was treif, is treif, will be treif. Yeah? This food is interesting. Was kosher, will be kosher, in the middle is treif. So it's, you understand, it's all there. In other words, when it comes to saving a life to eat treif for food, does the Torah say Torah doesn't exist now? Or does the Torah say it's kosher? No, there's an argument in halacha.
Oh, we don't know that.
No, there's two opinions in halacha.
Yeah.
So he says like this, that this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. The Alter Rebbe is saying over here, when a person keeps positive mitzvahs, they take the esrig, the money of tzedakah, the physical object, and they elevate it to kedusha. Okay? You can't take a chazer and eat it for a mitzvah. Let's see, there's a mitzvah to have a Shabbos meal. You can't eat a chazer for the mitzvah. Okay, a mitzvah that comes to a sin is not a mitzvah. What happens when a person transgresses the negative commandments, though? And again, by not eating chazer, we don't become holy. By eating chazer, we become impure. It's the opposite, by the way, of a positive mitzvah. If you put on tefillin, you become holy. Right? If you don't put on tefillin, you don't become impure, but you didn't become holy. Because I didn't do an act to become impure. I was passive. I didn't put on tefillin. Right? So I didn't become impure. That's why it's a very interesting thing. For positive mitzvahs, with the exception of circumcision and Korban Pesach, there is no punishment for positive mitzvahs. If somebody doesn't put on tefillin, they don't get punished.
We're not doing positive. Wait, what?
If somebody does not put on tefillin, they don't get punished. They don't get the mitzvah.
Okay.
No, what does this mean in practical language? When I put on tefillin, I become holier. If I don't put on tefillin, I don't become holier. But I didn't do an active negative commandment that makes me dirty. I'm using the word dirty just to clarify. Impure. Right? When I eat pig, I actively brought upon myself impurity. That impurity needs to be cleansed. Punishments in Torah, whether it's lashes, death, Gehenna, whatever you wanted to call it, that is not punishment for damnation. It is punishment as cleansing. Torah punishment is to cleanse. You brought impurity upon yourself by doing something Torah forbids, total evil. I'm actively doing it, So what happens? I become impure. So how do I cleanse myself from that impurity? That's called punishment. Punishment in Torah is a cleansing. Okay?
But not everything can be cleansed.
Yeah, tshuva cleanses everything.
Yeah, everything.
Everything. Everything, tshuva helps. Even those things that the Gemara says tshuva doesn't help, the Rebbe says from Tzorim, that it doesn't mean tshuva doesn't help. The lower normal level of tshuva doesn't help. You need a bigger level of tshuva. Okay? Okay, let's not get into that now. But if a person doesn't put on tefillin, they didn't bring impurity upon themselves. What they didn't do is get the holiness that they could have gotten. So what are you punishing for? There's no impurity on you to get cleansed. You lost out a golden opportunity to become holy. But did you acquire impurity upon yourself? No, you didn't do anything. You were lazy and you didn't put on tefillin. You didn't daven, you didn't light candles, whatever it may be. So there's no punishment because there's no thing to cleanse. Right? The problem is, and this is the downside of it, when I eat pig and I get whipped, now I'm clean. Okay? But by putting on tefillin Monday, I could have become holy. Okay? So I went on strike, no tefillin on Monday. Then Monday night, I say, oh, no good. I'm good enough to do tshuva. Okay? So Tuesday morning, I get up, I put on tefillin. Yeah? Granted, you did tshuva, but you know something? Monday morning's gain you didn't get. Because Monday's gone. The Chassidus explained there's a level of tshuva that can even do that. Can even get you Monday. It's not enough. It's possible. Because then, so the difference between, and this is what Dr. Rebbe is explaining over here. The purpose of a negative commandment is not to get our veins full of impure blood. To separate the good from the bad. But again, it's not the concept of elevating the world. We don't elevate the world by not eating pig. When we eat pig, we make evil stronger. And because evil becomes stronger, godliness has a difficult time resting there. But we don't become holier by not eating pig. We become holier when we do an active action, and then we do an action that brings down holiness into the world. When we sin in a negative mitzvah, what we're doing is bringing down evil into the world. And that causes the problems. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, and therefore, if the purpose of Mashiach is to reveal godliness in the world, when we sin, we're causing a darkness into the world that's going to be harder to elevate. It's going to be much more difficult to elevate that level of world to godliness. Because it's not working anyway. And this is what he says. V'shuv le'tucho nefesh achiyunis. Like maybe 15 lines in the end of the page. Le'tucho nefesh achiyunis. If a person is transgressing these sins, the animal soul is not able la'alos el Hashem, to elevate itself to Hashem, im nitma betumah shalosh kipsa tmeis, if it became impure with complete evil, i.e. those things that Hashem forbid us to do, she'en lamaliyah la'elam, that can never be elevated, ki im bitul v'avara l'gamri, we have to get rid of it. Like it says, ruach ha'tumah avim in oritz. In other words, like this, evil sustains itself from our actions. We feed evil when we sin, when we transgress a negative commandment. If a person will not eat pig, pig will basically weaken. That level of evil will become completely weak. We feed evil by doing it. So therefore, when Hashem gives us these 365 negative commandments, what does Hashem really want from us? Destroy it. How do we destroy evil? By not feeding it. When you don't feed evil, it's going to die. So if we don't do evil, look, we don't steal, we don't kill, we don't all these things, then that level of evil has no nourishment. And then it's going to weaken. And he says, and when we keep the 248 positive mitzvahs, laham shech erin tzav lamata, to bring down godliness down here, lahal islay, to elevate it to Hashem, or the kasha leyachid bay, and to bind and connect to Hashem, klolos nefesh achyunis, the entire animal soul of the Jew, sher beramach evari aguf, which dresses itself into all the limbs of the person's body, beyichud gomer, with an ultimate unity, liyas lachodem mamish, to be one. So he says this is the goal of the Torah mitzvahs. The Alter Rebbe is just defining the whole concept of Torah mitzvah, what the purpose is. The positive mitzvahs is to elevate the world to Kedusha, make it holy. The evil is that we should break and weaken by not doing it. And that's why Hashem gave us positive mitzvahs and Hashem gave us negative mitzvahs. Because the ultimate goal is that the physical world should be holy. Now, if the physical world is strongly dominated by evil, it's very difficult to bring holiness into it. So therefore, we need to do two things. We need to weaken evil, and we need to bring in Kedusha, and they have to be simultaneous. That's why Hashem didn't only give us positive mitzvahs, or he didn't only give us negative mitzvahs, because we need both. If you want to make the physical world holy, we need to weaken the evil forces of the world and bring Kedusha into the world. And they need to work together. K'mei sha'alei b'tzayni yizbarach, they can enter Hashem's will. Lias lay dira b'tachteinim, to have a dwelling place down here. The heim lay l'merkav, and this is what he says now, a very interesting statement. That when a person does a mitzvah, they become the chariot, meaning the wagon of God, just like the patriarchs. K'mei ha'ovis. That means, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Medrash says, was the chariot of Hashem. What does the chariot mean? The horse goes where the rider leads it. They were, so to speak, the chariots. God was riding the horse, and the patriarchs, 24/7, did only what Hashem wanted them to do. The Alter Rebbe says over here that when a Jew does a mitzvah, they take a nickel and put it into tzedakah. At that moment, they are a merkava, the chariot of God, just like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were. The only difference is, like we learned, a minute later we can do something sinful with our hand, and they were 24/7 only Kedusha with the hand. But at the moment the person does a mitzvah, you light Shabbos candle, you put on tefillin, you give tzedakah, whatever you do, at that moment, that part of the body that's doing the mitzvah become the chariot, meaning completely subjugated to God, you become one with Hashem. Your mouth speaks davening, speaks Torah, at the moment your mouth is speaking, it becomes a bondage and a connection with Hashem, you become one with Hashem. Just like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Except, like we said, a minute later, a mouth can speak Lashon Hara. So that time, at the time we speak Lashon Hara, because it's something Hashem forbids, or the mouth eats treif because it's something Hashem forbids, at that moment, it's bound one with evil. That's it. We could be a yo-yo. One second we could be completely bound to Hashem. You can give tzedakah and walk away from the pushkin, smack somebody in the face. Right? That means this second, you're completely bound to Hashem, like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And a second later, you were bound completely to evil. So he says that's why the coming of Mashiach's revelation is dependent really on what we do. When we do a mitzvah, we elevate the world. And when we don't sin, we weaken world by not giving it power. We're not feeding world. So what happens? World becomes weaker. World becomes a vessel more for godliness. So by bringing Kedusha down and weakening the evil power, so godliness is able to come into the world.